Welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good. And all the time, we also know that God has called the church to love Him, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this day, we like to welcome you, our viewers who are out there on internet land, and we just thank you for tuning in, and we pray that these messages would be a blessing to you, that they would help to transform your lives. Today, we are continuing on with our sermon, Is Your Cup Half Full or Half Empty? And as we move into that, I'd like us all, as I already instructed the church, to turn in your Bibles to the book of John. We're going to begin this day in the book of John from chapter 15, and we're only going to be looking at two little verses here, but these two little verses are so important to us. And then I'm going to do a recap so we can see why I'm starting here. Of course, today is the second portion of this sermon. It says from the book of John, in the chapter 15, in the fourth verse, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Now, as we look at that scripture, there are so many times that people hear when we read this and the way it's been taught, it's talking about the fruit of our lives, okay? But I dare us to think a little bit differently. I dare us to think a little bit deeper, because truly, this calls for us to put things into perspective. We have to remember who we are and who we are not, okay? And that is the first portion of, is your cup half full or half empty? It is having the proper perspective, as I taught last time we were together here. Because if we look at our lives as being a half full or half empty glass, we're claiming the glass itself. And I need to let us all know something. None of us outside of Jesus Christ is alive. We may have life in us because we have been procreated by our parents. We may have life in us because we are a living being, but we are not alive to God. We are dead to God through sin. Amen? So we have to start with the proper perspective. And the proper perspective says we have nothing to offer. We don't even have the cup to put it in. We have nothing. So it's not your cup, it's not half full, and it's not half empty. You have nothing. But when we come to the perspective that through Jesus Christ, He gives us life, all of a sudden we realize that the vessel we are, we become that cup, we become that vessel. Now what is in it is apportioned unto God to do. So my cup is neither half full nor half empty at any point in time, because it's not my cup, it's His cup. But I am to live my life in such a way that I am being poured out always, because anything the Lord gives me must be poured back out. Therefore, we learn to be content in life, the second point. Because contentment does not mean you're happy where you are, but contentment says, I'm okay where I am because it's going to lead me to where I'm going to be. How many of us started out as the CEO of a corporation? I'm not there yet. And I may never, ever get there. I started out as a baby coming out of my mother's womb. I had nothing. And when I die, I'm going to be an old man and I'm taking nothing with me. It's often said that in life, you have a start date and an end date. And everything else in the middle on your tombstone is taken up by a little dash. Live your dash well. Learn to be content where you are, and in that contentment, it will lead you to where you need to be. Paul says in his word, the scripture that we used from Philippians, it tells us that we need to be content in all things, whether happy or sad, whether well-fed or hungry, whether persecuted or exalted. Where are we in our lives? How do we see where we are? Are we comfortable with where God has us? Are we trusting Him? That's what contentment means. Are we trusting Him for the outcome of His choice? His will, His way, my faith. Do you understand the shirt? I didn't buy this shirt. This shirt was a gift from somebody in the church, and it just blows my mind how God does this stuff. If God's not real, then I must be a figment of your imagination today. It just amazes me, because when we start out with my faith and then try to make it His will and His way, it doesn't work. Look where my faith is. It comes in under His will and His way. I have to understand what's being spoken here. Miss Brenda, you had no idea what you were giving me, did you? Wow, dear sister, just wow. God is good. And all the time. I don't care where you find yourself. You can be in the midst of the most pain and hurt. My wife is still going through weeks of rehab here with her knee. I was giving her hun today. I pick on my wife terribly. She's walking to the car. She's going about 3 miles an hour. And I said, oh, here she comes. Get out of the way. She's going to run you over. She just looked at me and said, shut up. I got to have fun with it, because I know where she's going to be 6 months from now, a year from now. Is she content where she is now? Yeah, because she is healing, and this thing is for her better, okay? Did it hurt? It hurt, didn't it, honey? She was talking to me last night. Which is worse for me, taking all that Tylenol or taking all those pain meds? I said, I have no idea, honey. I said, why? She said, well, I'm thinking about cutting out one or the other. What's that called? Progress. Isn't it amazing to have such tough choices? And I'll tell you right now, sometimes we have to make choices what we want to cut out because of the pain in our lives. We need to learn to be content with where we are. Not necessarily liking it, but dealing with it in a manner that is right and good. And in that manner, we will be transformed. And that is where we are today in the book of John. Because when we are sitting in the proper perspective, understanding what it means to be content, and then coming to the place where God can lead us unto the next level, that's called transformation. And Jesus here says He is the vine. We are the branches. What does that mean? That means He has headship, doesn't it? That means we can no longer think for ourselves. That means His will and His way is over us. And that's a big transformation from this world. This world says, I, me, mine. God says, no. No, it's about me, who I am, and who I have for you to be. Will you submit to that authority? And our world today is trying to get rid of that authority in every way that it can. All we have to do is look around and see what they're trying to do to us. Now, I'm not talking just Christian authority. They're talking about your human rights. They want to do away with your human rights. And I am reminded, and I would like us all to be reminded, God says in His word, thou shalt not kill, right? And one of the greatest things that is being screamed about today in our world is what? Roe v. Wade being overturned. Because my body, my choice. Now, wait a minute. When it came to the shots, that was not allowed to be. But when it comes to murdering an innocent life that is in you, remember, we procreate. Remember how this all began? We procreate, and you become a living being. When do you become a living being? At the moment of conception, dear people. Because if you're not a living being at the moment of conception, conception is a misconception, because conception means beginning. I mean, am I telling the truth, or am I just making stuff up? Am I pulling this out of my hat? Oh, I'm not wearing a hat. So we need to understand they want to control us in every manner that we can, or in every manner that they can, from abortion rights to gun rights. You know, I have a hard time following a guy who says I need to give up my guns when he gave $85 billion worth of munitions to another country. We need to remember what we're talking about here. When our eyes are finally open, we begin to see things in reality. Otherwise, we see them selfishly, and it's all about self. But when we think, as you see this diagram on my chest, it begins to transform your thinking. And all of a sudden, you begin to produce good fruit, fruit that lasts unto eternity, fruit that is good unto life. And I mean being alive to God. Okay, when I talk about life in that regard, I'm talking about being alive to God. Because everything we do outside of Jesus Christ means nothing. We are dead to God. You know, the street, the road, the highway paved to hell is paved with good intentions. But no one on it gets to heaven. For his thoughts and his ways are higher than our ways. And we need to be found on that high way. There's only one way. Jesus said what to us? I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That talks about transformation, because all of a sudden, we've got to put all our hope, all our trust, all our belief in one person, the person Jesus Christ. That calls for transformation. But it's only out of that transformation, as we read the Word of God, that we will do good things. Because it's from that good comes. In ourselves, if we are evil, okay, I want you to think about this. If you have a bad plant, is it going to grow? Can you get bananas to grow on a thistle bush? Okay. How about cherries on a thorn bush, okay, a Rose of Sharon? Have you ever seen cherries on a Rose of Sharon? How many of you have picked watermelon from poison ivy? Pastor, you're being stupid. No, I'm not. No, I am not. It cannot happen, because as God looks upon works, He does not care of works. What God cares is upon the heart. What does He say in His Word? We are told this in the Old Testament. We're told this in the New Testament. God judges the hearts and minds of men. But I had good intentions. For who? His will, His way, or my will and my way? And that's where the rub comes. We have got to be transformed. We have got to come to that place where we let go of who we are, what we are, to become all that He would have of us to be. Jesus Christ speaks here. I'm going to read it again. He says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine." Now, I know many people out there are going to tell me, but look what I can do. I want you to understand one very simple and very real concept. Have you made a world? Have you made the things that you claim your own in your life? The answer to that question is no, you have not. What do I mean? I was a machinist for many years. Most of you know that. For 20 years, 22 years actually, I was a machinist. And I would manufacture parts that were as small as a thumbnail to the size of half a bus. In fact, some of the parts that I manufactured weighed more than 5 tons. But they were precision components. I was able to hold tolerances to half a thousandth. Okay, that's taking a human hair and dividing it 6 times. Not by length, by width. That's the type of work I did. And man, I was proud of everything I made. But I want you to understand something. I may have worked on it, I didn't make it. Because there was a foundry that sent that steel to me in the form that gave me the ability to work on it. Now, wait a minute, did I work on it? No, the machine I was running was working on it with tooling that someone else made. All this stuff is not about me, it's about others and how connectively together we can do something with what's been given us. But who gave it to us? God. Everything is His. Nothing you have is yours. That's why you take nothing with you, because you didn't bring anything to the party. I want you to think about this. When we start getting our proper perspective, do you see how each one of these things calls for you to put it? You got to go back to number one every time, because it's got to be put into the proper perspective. Once it's in the proper perspective, all of a sudden, we can see how contentment comes. We can see how transformation comes, because it all goes back to that proper perspective. When I'm looking at the cup half full or half empty, I'm looking at me. But when I simply look at my life as this is what's been given to me, this is the parable of the talents. And I want you to think about the parable of the talents. Every one of those people was given in accordance to their what? To their faith. One was given 5, one was given 2, and one was given 3. Who had the emptier cup? Not one of them. They were all given equally according to the measure of their faith. That's what God is giving you, according to the measure of your faith. How is God going to make your faith increase lest He test you and try you? How many of us, you know, how many of you folks went to school? Yeah, every hand goes in the air. That was a dumb question, right? No, that was an intelligent question. Because it's the point is, you didn't grow up knowing everything automatically. Now, when you were younger, you thought you did. You told your parents that. And believe me, because we as the parents told our parents that. You're dumb. You don't know what you're talking about. Then we turn 40 and we say, maybe they had a little bit more of an idea than we thought. And that is because we've been transformed. We're no longer a child. We grow up. Paul says in our word, what does Paul tell us? He says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And that's where we have to come to. We've got to put away those childish things in order to come unto life, to understand where we are, how God is moving in our world, and what He has for us. Because that, my dear friends, leads to our purpose. You cannot find purpose until you find transformation. So many people are running around this world. What am I going to do when I grow up? What am I going to do when I grow up? And of course, I came from the generation that was a Toys R Us generation. I'm never going to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. And I look out there in our world and I swear that's what we see. A whole bunch of Toys R Us kids, because it's whoever has the most toys wins. I hate to tell you, none of those toys are going with you, so nobody wins. But as we look at God's transformation, it leads us to purpose. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. chapter 3, verses 4 through 18. Chapter 3, 2 Corinthians, verse 4 through 18. Thus says the word of the Lord. Such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death in letters engraved on stones came with glory, so that the sons of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses because of the glory of his face fading as it was, how will the ministry of the Spirit fail to be even more with glory? For if the ministry of condemnation has glory, how much more does the ministry of righteousness abound in glory? For indeed, what had glory in this case has no glory because of the glory that surpasses it. For if that which fades away was with glory, much more that which remains is in glory. Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech. And we are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away, but their minds were hardened, for until this very day, at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, the veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. When we look at that word, when we read that word, it's a complicated word. Many people get lost in that word because it's talking about the Old Covenant. What is the Old Covenant? That is the Old Testament. It is the Pentateuch, the law, that which came to us from God, the laws that God gave us. Those laws did not bring life. Those laws brought death. We need to understand it. But those laws came with glory. When Moses came down off of Mount Sinai, his face shone with the radiance of God, because this is the word of God. He is the God of life. Obey this word and live. However, could men obey it? No. So what did it bring? Death. Do you now understand? It had glory because it was the way unto life in the law. However, because we could not understand it, because we could not stand under it, it brought death. It separated us from God. So God made a way through his Son, Jesus Christ. That which was had glory. But what is even more glory, because we can stand under Jesus Christ. How can we stand under Jesus Christ? Through grace. And in that grace, God allows us to mess up. How many of you messed up this week? You know, it's amazing to me. And yet we call ourselves Christians. Yes! Christian doesn't mean perfect. It means I'm trying my best. You know, that's one of the things that I have such a hard time with the world, is people look at me and they say, well, you think you're perfect. No! I've never thought that. That's why I won't condemn you. Oh, but you come against me because I this. No, I don't come against you. I come against your sin just like I do my own. Well, then you're a hater. No, I'm not a hater. I don't hate you. I hate sin. I hate all sin because sin is what separates us from God. Can I get an amen? Am I speaking outside my mind? But because the world wants to label us, because they have no purpose, I want you to catch this stuff, man. I hope you catch this stuff. They have no purpose because they're floating everywhere, trying everything, trying to find that which works. But yet when we present that which works, that which is right, that which is good, that which is holy, that which is perfect, we're told we're crazy. We're told we're bigots. We're told we're haters. Why? Because to submit to the will of God means he has to come first. We have to have the proper perspective in order to find purpose. God has to come first. Why does God always have to come first? Because in the beginning, God. He is our beginning. Do you all understand that? He is our beginning. He's also our end. I am the Omega, the Alpha and the Omega. I almost got that backwards, didn't I? I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. He is the beginning and he is the end. Outside of him, there is nothing. In him, we find all things. Everything that has been made, that was made through him. That's John 1, John chapter 1. And in that, we can find our purpose. Because from these very scriptures, when we realize that the glory that we are now receiving is the purpose of going forward to promote this very thing that is on my chest, his will, his way, my faith. It does not matter what you do. You can be a vacuum cleaner repairman, okay? You can be a maternity nurse, right? Is that what I want to say, Marion? Okay. You can be a cafeteria worker at your local high school, a postal worker, okay? You can be whatever you want to be. But purpose is not found in what we do. Purpose is found in who we are. You see, that's where the devil has lied to us. He has told us that we will find our purpose when we make money. How many of you are happy with making money? What does making money do? It makes you have to make more money. How many of you are happy in your things that you possess, the things that you bought with your money? What do those things do? They make you take care of them and spend money on them. Okay? I have two boats. Do you know what BOAT stands for? It's an acronym. Bring another thousand. Bring out another thousand. That's what it means. Bring out another thousand because you're going to dump it into that sucker. That's life. And yet, the world teaches us that these things that we can't grasp, that we can't hold on to, are where we find our purpose. Oh, well, my purpose is in raising my children. No, it's not. That's your responsibility. You brought children into life. It's not your purpose. That's your responsibility. Purpose is that which you live for. If all you're doing is living for your children, you're not living because you don't have a life. Your children have your life. But if you come to Christ, he gives us life abundantly. What does he mean by that? He gives us purpose to live, that we live for him, and that's eternal. Well, yeah, but Pastor, we're going to die. No, you're not. This physical body is going to die. But that which is us, our makeup, all that we are, lives on unto eternity. And he is that eternity. We need to understand this. Our purpose is beyond the grave. It is not to the grave. That's what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to live to the grave and die, end. Jesus Christ says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This world says, work until you die. Well, in the United States, work until you're 65, 67, then go on Social Security. I laugh because I look at my retired people and they're busier than they were when they were working. Life does not end when you retire. It just gets difficult because your body quits on you. I praise God for the day mine finally shuts down and I can get rid of this thing, shed these mortal coils, pick up my eternal nature, and be with God forever. Can I get an hallelujah? Because in that, I'm finally going to be able to live to the potential of my purpose, which is what? To love God, love others, and go. Oh, my heavens, dear brothers and sisters, when we start wrapping our heads around who we are and whose we are, my cup is neither half full nor half empty. It's not my cup, it's His cup. And when I live it in that proper perspective, all of a sudden, everything I have is available to God unto eternity. Man, I got goosebumps a mile high on me right now. And I pray you do, because that's how God sees you. He does not see you inadequate, a half a glass half empty. He does not see you heady, a glass half full, looking for more. He sees you as the vessel He has called you to be, available to Him at His call and purpose. And in that, we find contentment. In that, we find transformation. In that, we find purpose. When I'm looking at my life as to whether I have it half full or half empty, I've got nothing. Because I can't add anything to it, but boy, I can certainly subtract from it. Only Christ can change that equation. And that's where we are today. And I pray that you will think about these things. Begin to look into who you are. How do you see your life? Are you content where you are? And if you're not, then move forward in Christ Jesus unto the changing. Okay, that's transformation. If you're at that place, how many of us are at a place of transformation right now? I'll guarantee you, if you are alive and sucking air, you are at a place of transformation. Because that's what this life is for. It is to transform us to the image of Jesus Christ through the power of God's love, grace, and glory. And I want to get back my last point here. I want you all to look at verse 18 in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. It says, "But we with unveiled face behold, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. We are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit." Now, there's another version that reads that a little bit differently, and I love it because it makes a little bit more sense in my mind. It says, "We are changing from glory to ever-increasing glory." What does that mean? That is talking about the transformation and purpose of our lives coming in conjunction with one another. When we realize that God already has us established in glory when we come to Jesus Christ, He is going to increase that glory as we are transformed more and more to the image of His Son. And in that, the only way we will be able to see the truth of that is when Christ removes the veil. Look back at verse 14. It says, "But their minds were hardened, for until this very day at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ." I want you to understand something. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, it says the veil of the temple was torn in two. It was rent asunder, top to bottom. That was what hid the holy place. We can now enter into the holy place with unveiled faces. We don't have to worry. Jesus Christ has removed the veil. We can see God for who He is, and in that find the hope of glory through the resurrection of the Son because of His death and because of His obedience to the Father. When you and I start putting these things together, I'm going to tell you right now, if you really want to answer the question, is my cup half full or half empty? If you are in Christ Jesus, your cup is half full and getting fuller. You better start pouring it out, because if you do, God's going to continue to fill it up. If you get selfish and begin to hoard it, God's going to stop pouring in. And that's something we all need to remember. That is a very real truth. God wants us to be an offering. We are to live our lives as holy offerings unto Him, being poured out always unto the end, because that's exactly how His Son lived His life. Think about it. Did Jesus hold anything back on the cross of Calvary? I love His words. It is finished. And so is my sermon. Let us pray. Father God, You are the one who gives us life through Your Son, our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And Lord Jesus, we come to You today that we would not look at life the way this world looks at life any longer, that we would look at it the way You looked at life, that You were available to God in all things, in all situations, just as the Apostle Paul learned to look at life, that we are Your holy vessel, poured out constantly. For Lord God, You wish not Your children to be still, but to be ever active, moving forward unto the day of our physical death, and then the beginning of our eternal nature. Father God, bless us and keep us. May those who have heard this message come unto it, and may it change their lives as well. And if that is the case, dear Lord, bless them and make them fruitful and bountiful in Christ Jesus. Amen.
You have been watching a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.